Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Hope you're having a great first Friday of 2019. Today's show, Ricky and I look back on 2018. A lot of stuff happened. I know we're all looking forward to this year, 2019, to all the great stuff happening at the studios and, you know, all over the resort with new hotel rooms opening and so forth. But 2018 was a pretty amazing year. So we talk about the highlights of 2018 on today's show. Don't forget, before that, we've got great sponsors like our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when you're planning out that 2019 vacation, we'd really appreciate it if you'd support the podcast by booking with the Magic for Less. Just drop by themagicforless.com today. Check out all the great specials, all the free goodies you're going to get for booking with them. And then while you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote form and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And you and I are going to be working together to plan an amazing trip to that Disney destination, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney or Universal. I promise to give you everything I've got to help you have the greatest vacation ever. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, don't forget to support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. Bookmark it on all your devices. It really does help support the show. It's simply beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1429 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel, settling in here for the first Friday of 2019. So let's, nothing better to do in the first weekend of 2019 than to reflect back on what a fun year it was down at Walt Disney World in 2018. And I want to lead off here by saying safe travels to all the lizards who are heading down to Walt Disney World here in the next few days for Marathon Weekend 2019. We've made it. It's the taper. And we're going to be smoking those courses on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next week. And we're going to have so much fun. So look out. Lizards are heading to Florida. We're going to have a great time. So today, again, reflecting back on 2018, talking about the news that was. And of course, we have the newsbreaker herself, Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. And many times in 2018, Disney would announce something. Ricky would be out to eat or at the mall and be like, dang it, Disney, I got to go home and write a blog post. So how's it going, Ricky?
It's true. I can tell you that there are many times where I have written a blog post on my phone while I've been out doing something. So
oh, that's a little behind the scenes. Happened. Yeah, that's crazy.
It has happened. Matter of fact, last year when they did D23, which of course this year we're going to have another D23. And when it's in, is it in August again this year? I think it is. So yeah, so this year we're gonna have another D23, but last year at D23, or the year before, I guess I should say, because we did not record this in 2018. So I was actually at Walt Disney World and I was at Animal Kingdom and I was listening to the announcements at Satuli Canteen and then writing all the announcements articles for touring plans on my phone while I was waiting in line for attractions. So
that doesn't make you sound too professional.
No matter what,
stop.
Right?
You're crazy.
Yes. Bring you the news no matter what. So anyway, but you know, this year, now that we are in 2019, is going to be huge. I mean, there's just this little thing. It's called Star Wars Galaxy's Edge that I think may be opening at the end of the year at Walt Disney World. So, I think we're going to have a lot to talk about this year as far as news and stuff like that. But this year, and you've got Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, the end of Illuminations this year, too. So, there's a lot of things that are coming for 2019. That's going to be bananas. And then moving forward, I mean, it's just going to be one thing after the other after the other. So it's crazy.
I know.
It's crazy.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Get it? Star Wars?
Yeah.
I know. I'm Han Solo.
Okay.
I was waiting for you to stop talking so I could just say, I know. because of the Galaxy's Edge just coming here. Anyway, so that was, I know it was a long way to go for a stupid joke.
Yeah, that's so, a long way for it to go for a dumb joke. Yes,
let's reflect back on 2018. So many things happened in 2018. Let's, you know, kind of put the close the book on 2018. 2019 is going to be exciting. We'll be talking about that here in the next week or two with Pam. So one of the things I want to talk about, I know you made a list, but I want to talk about just a couple things pop up. And Terry mentioned this in the live chat as we're recording. The parking fees that came to Walt Disney World. There's really no positives to that. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I'm a Disney, you know, I'm a fan of Disney. I love it. You know, I'm a homer for Disney. And I understand lots of other hotel chains do charge. I hate that they did this, but you know, they are, you know, they're charging for parking now, nightly parking fee. But I will say, I think, and I want to ask you this, Rookie, this is why I want to bring this up. Mm-hmm. Do you think this has changed, you know, really people's habits as to how they vacation at Walt Disney World? For example, when I first started flying back a few years ago, we rented a car the first couple times. Then we kind of discovered Uber, and I really like Uber because it's easy. It's kind of on demand. You don't have to park a car. You get dropped off right at the, you know, the resort where you need to be. But I will not rent a car now because, you know, I'm not paying to have that car sit. And, I mean, I just wonder if, like, the car rental agencies in Orlando are seeing a hit because of this. I mean, because Walt Disney World is probably their main destination. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, while I think it's their main destination, I think that not as many people that rented cars were staying on property. I think if you have a rental car, for the most part, you're probably staying off property. So I don't know that it's hit the rental car industry that drastically, but I do. I mean, there's no way around it. This is awful. This stinks. This is, you know, I don't know why. You know, I know why they wanted to do it. It's all about money, and I get it, you know, but you know, it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, really, really, you didn't need to do this. You can come up with money other ways. And, you know, because clearly 2018, you know, is the year of the upcharge event too. I think we had this as one of the things a couple of years ago or a year ago or something like that of the year of the upcharge event. And they've seemed to come up with more of them this year. But, you know, I feel like there are lots of other ways that you can kind of get money, and it just seems cheap to me. You know, it just seems like a cheap shot. So, and yeah, you're right. I know a lot of other hotel chains charge for that, but that's what made Disney different. You know, it was the Disney difference, is that, you know, you did not have to pay a parking fee. So it's a huge bummer to me. And, you know, as someone who always has a car, because I do drive, I hate it. I think it's awful that I'm being penalized because I'm driving. It's terrible. But
I mean, if you're staying at a deluxe resort, think about it. Like, and you're staying for like 7 or 8 or 9 nights, and you have a car. I mean, that's almost like one of your plane tickets. You know, for one person, one way. You know, in Southwest.
Exactly. So exactly. Yeah. It's not cheap. You know, 7-8 nights of a you know, deluxe resort parking fee.
But all right, let's don't dwell on the negative. Just want to bring that up because that did happen. So what else you got on your list you want to talk about here from 2018?
Well, I mean, I think that we have to start with kind of the biggest thing that happened in you know, 2018, and that's the debut of Toy Story Land.
Yes.
You know, Disney's Hollywood Studios had been for so long, and you know, it's getting out of it, and it will definitely get out of it this this year. But it had been a half day park. I mean, plain and simple. It's just it you know, yeah, there were shows that you could take in, and you know, if you hadn't been to Walt Disney World in a while, you could definitely get a full day out of Disney's Hollywood Studios. But for the most part, it was drastically reduced, you know, the number of attractions that you could do. And adding Toy Story Land has added, obviously, a couple of attractions. It's added some family-friendly attractions, which the park didn't necessarily have as many of. Slinky Dog Dash is seriously so much fun. Yes. I did not think I would get that much of enjoyment out of that attraction, but seriously, it is a blast. I love that attraction. And Alien Swirling Saucers is a lot of fun, too. You know, and of course, you've got Toy Story Mania, which, you know, has the new entrance and stuff like that. And you got the delicious food of Woody's Lunchbox. I'm still surprised as of today that they are still offering breakfast. Not going to lie. I thought for sure that would get cut. Of course, now that I've said that, bye-bye breakfast. But, you know, I think that while it's a small land and it has a few flaws to it, it's still a great addition to Hollywood Studios because it does offer something that wasn't necessarily there before, and that's a spot for kind of families to go and enjoy the day and just have kind of a little bit of fun.
Yeah, looking back on my final thoughts on Toy Story Land, now that I've experienced a lot over 2018, is that Slinky Dog Coaster exceeded my expectations by a lot. I mean, it's just a lot of fun, and it's very creative, and it's very visual. It fits the land perfect. The kinetic motion of everything. It's a home run. Alien Swirling Saucers.
Well, and that's something that Hollywood Studios didn't have a lot of either, was kinetic motion.
Yes.
I mean, you know, everything all the other parks had
buildings.
Kinetic.
Yeah. I mean, it's exposed and you see it, you hear it. You hear, you know, the roller coaster talks. I mean, you know, it's like Slinky Dog talks as he's going around the tracks. So that's a very, very cool. Fits perfectly. Alien Swirling Saucers, it kind of didn't meet my expectation just a little bit. And I understand that not every attraction is going to be an e-ticket attraction. I don't want every attraction to be an e-ticket because you got to have major, minor. You got to kind of fill in and kind of have a buffet of things to do. It's okay, but it's not something I need to do every ride. And one of the things that I think was a unexpected byproduct of the success of those two attractions is that you can now ride Toy Story Midway Mania with significantly decreased weights. You know, you don't have to wait so long, so that's kind of cool. And they have the third track. So in the theming
that's
of the
true.
Land, it's just cool to be in. It's a nice layer. And I think once Galaxy's Edge opens here in the new year, you know, at the end of this year, that, you know, when it's not the new hotness, it's going to be more enjoyable because things will kind of thin out a little. I think that'll be better.
Oh, 100%. I mean, everybody's going to be in Galaxy's Edge, you know, at the end of this year. So, you know, yes, I think once that hits Toy Story Land will kind of even out a little bit. And of course, then you've got Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which will open in the fall of this year as well. So that'll take even, again, another chunk of people that are headed to Toy Story Land too. So again, I think that the land is a nice addition. Is it the best thing since sliced bread? Nah, probably not. But you know, I think it's a good addition for Hollywood Studios. And I think it was a necessary addition for Hollywood Studios.
Absolutely.
And plus, anything food-wise, you know, for counter service is better than what they had there before.
I know, it wasn't much. So, you know, I feel like I should be playing Reminiscing by Little River Band today, but Scott will appreciate that. All right, so what else happened in 2018?
Well, you know, the big thing is I think 2018 was a year of change. You know, we didn't have a lot of grand openings this year, but we saw a lot of things kind of leaving, getting ready for the future, that kind of thing. And, you know, we saw an attraction that's been around for forever in like the Circle of Life closing. I know that that's not an attraction that many people are like, you know what, that attraction was great, except for my husband, who absolutely loved that attraction for some unknown reason. But you know, the fact that the Circle of Life closed in Epcot's you know, the Land Pavilion, it's still kind of indicative of the fact that, you know, we had a lot of closures this year and things to get ready for the future. Now, granted, they don't have anything announced for that space as of right now. Maybe they will in the future, especially with the new Lion King coming out this year. Maybe they'll put in an updated version of Circle of Life and have, you know, the live action, and I use that term in quotes, be kind of the idea. It's not really live action, but, you know, everybody's calling it a live action version of the movie, so whatever.
No, I agree. I mean, things like that go away. And I mean, they're getting us ready for Illuminations, you know, swan song here in the next, you know, 6 months.
That's right. And another swan song kind of that we had is Rafiki's Planet Watch. Now, you know, they say, oh, yeah, it's coming back, whatever. But I haven't heard anything. I mean, it might have came back with the holiday season. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Rafiki's is another spot where it's prime for a refurbishment. It's prime for, you know, some love and that kind of thing. And yet you know, right now it's sitting there kind of just unused. So it was a great little area. You could go pet goats, which is kind of fun. But, you know, it was hard to get to. I've only been out there once in my entire Disney fandom. So that tells you even someone like me doesn't get out there very often. But it was still a unique place because you got to see, you know, the surgery center type thing. So it's a unique place, and I'm curious to see what they'll do with that space in the future too.
I think that is the problem with Rafiki's Planet Watch. Everybody that went back there said it was so cool because you got to get hands on with some animals. You got to see, you know, you could catch maybe a procedure being done on an animal in like the vet little, you know, open area there. I mean, it was a great idea, but it's exactly what you just said. you know, it was there for a decade and I probably went back two or three times. And I love the train to go back there. The train was like a really hidden gem of Animal Kingdom. And but it was so far out of the way that I just never went back there. But like, I'll miss it. Yeah. But and the thing is, too, when you think about the, you know, the what do they call the like accountants? What do you call them? The penny pinchers or the whatever.
The bean counters.
That's what I was looking for. I was like, peanut. No, that's not peanut. But, no, you know, the bean counters. I was trying to think of the right legume or whatever. But so, you know, that is a I'm sure that's a big expense, taking care of live animals. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have to do that a lot with Animal Kingdom Resort, the lodge, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, I would imagine that's one of the more costly areas to maintain. And it probably doesn't have much return on investment. So I could see it going
probably
around.
Probably true. So, we also got speaking of Animal Kingdom, we got a new show, sort of revamped show, with the Up a Great Bird Adventure. Now I still haven't seen it yet. Hoping to get to see it here soon. But you know, they've added some characters to the show that was there before. They didn't change the show terribly much, just kind of added a little bit of a character storyline to it with Russell and Doug from the movie Up. But you know, that was, again, kind of a minor change that happened this year, but it kind of just refreshed something that had been in the park for so long. You know, again, it was kind of an opening day attraction, and you know, after 20 years, I think it's time to kind of maybe zhuzh it up a little bit, add some fun, add some uniqueness to it. So I think it was time for, you know, some changes too.
That is one of the few things, and there's not very many things left anymore that I have not done at Walt Disney World ever. I've never done Characters of Flight, or you know, whatever it's called. Yeah. I do like the up character. You know, I think it just reminds me of Grant's Farm here in St. Louis. I mean, it looks like exactly what they do there. Does a parrot ride a little bicycle across a rope?
No, it does not ride a little bicycle across. So
okay, well, I'm not going then. If you don't have a parrot riding a bicycle, you don't have anything. Come on. Go ahead. What's
sorry,
next?
Mike. They do it a little more of the, you know, natural tendencies of
you
birds.
You don't know. Parrots could ride bicycles in the wild. You don't know that. It could happen somewhere in South America somewhere. Maybe they ride bicycles.
Using bicycles in the wild. I'm just going to ask that question now.
You never know. I'm just saying.
Listeners, if you've seen a parrot riding a bicycle in the wild, please tweet at me at Ricky Nibs so I have proof.
It'll be in the next Disney nature film. Watch.
Oh my goodness. Oh, there's going to be a new Disney nature film this year, by the way.
All right.
Kind of tying that
in. Haven't seen any of those either. They look interesting. Never go. I don't go to movies. Go ahead.
No, I know. Me neither. I've never seen a single Disney nature film. I'm a terrible human being, so that's okay. Another big change we had for, and this is really for 2019, but it was kind of announced, you know, in 2018, and that's the big ticket change that we had moving forward. And I know that you've had to deal with it a lot, Mike, so I'm sure you have your own opinions about this ticket change.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the thing is, here's what I think Disney is going for. This is just me reading the tea leaves, and I'm probably totally wrong because I'm just a Disney fan. And I work in the industry, obviously, but I mean, I'm just talking about like what I see is that I think Disney long-term doesn't want people buying annual passes for like a 10-day trip, you know, because I think that they're going to price those so that they want to push people to Magic Your Way tickets that expire rather quickly. Because when you think about when you buy Magic Your Way tickets, the biggest cost and the biggest profit to Disney is on those first few initial days. Of course, when you get to day 7, 8, 9, 10 on a Magic Your Way ticket, you're talking dollars for a day of fun in the parks, which is, you know, because they want to keep you on property for 10 days because they're getting your hotel, they're getting your food for 10 days. I mean, that's what they want to do. But I think that, you know, they're going to want to push people towards, you know, buying tickets and having separate packages. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know if, you know, you got to, again, they're just making it harder to calculate out where the breaking point is and how to, you know, Disney wants to make as much money on every person on every trip that they can. But I think, you know, an informed consumer like listens to our podcast, an informed traveler, you know, they're making it harder because you got to look and see, okay, these days have that variable pricing. You know, this day is a $98 day ticket, you know, and this day is $112, you know, and it's like the math's harder. But I think, you know, folks in our audience are figuring it out. But, you know, Disney wants to make it a little bit more, they want to pinch a little bit more money out of us, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Again, this is kind of what I was talking about earlier. It kind of goes along with the parking fees of, you know, just, and especially with, you know, Galaxy's Edge opening at the end of the year, they're, they've, this is their big cash cow. This is where they are going to make their money. I mean, guaranteed. You know, I'm still picturing how long the wait is going to be to get into Galaxy's Edge at the, you know, once it finally does open. You know, it's going to, again, like I keep saying, it's going to be bananas. So, you know, the more they can do to get ready to get the most amount of money that they're going to get for when Galaxy's Edge actually opens, you know, they're going to do what they can to do that. And I think that by changing the ticket pricing structure the way they have, you know, they'll be able to do that. And then, of course, you know, then once it actually does open, then they'll come up with another price increase, you know, at the end of the year, because that's when Galaxy's Edge is opening, and then they can, you know, jack up the prices for it.
But I will say, in Disney's defense, with the variable ticket pricing, you know, where each day it's costs true. More or less, this is something that, you know, sporting teams have been doing for years and years, and it's really successful because you can look at it two ways. Okay, like, when I go to a Cardinals game, you know, they're pretty high demand. You know, we almost sell out every day, you know, every game at the Cardinals here in St. Louis. You know, they are our big thing. They're right. Like our cities, we're proud of them. But the thing is, you know, you can always get good deals if you're flexible. Like if you want to go see a game against, say, the Florida Marlins or the Miami Marlins, you can go for extremely cheap, you know, and you can still have a great right. time at the ballpark. But if the Yankees come into town or the Red Sox, you know, in an interleague game, you're going to pay through the nose just because it's supply and demand. And that's kind of what Disney's right. gone. And, you know, hey, you know, whatever. So, I mean, if you can, you know, if that's you're lucky true. Enough to go in mid-February or, you know, September right after Labor Day, you're going to go cheaper. But most people are going to pay a little bit more.
Absolutely. That's exactly kind of how it is. So, all right. Moving along, we had kind of a unique thing that kind of debuted this year, and that is, I know we've both played with it, that's the Disney Play app that they introduced kind of in the middle of the summer. This is, again, another way I think that they're getting ready for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, because I've heard that they're going to use this app as the, you know, because we've talked about this, as the way to kind of track how you're doing. You know, you said, I don't want somebody to affect how I've done on the attraction.
Yes.
Well, I think this is the way it's going to happen. So if you do ride on, you know, if Smuggler's Run, and you are with people who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, you maybe won't be penalized as much because you're doing well, but they may not be. So if you use the Disney Play app with this, then maybe, you know, if you've done well, then you still get the kudos for it. So that's a good thing. But the Disney Play app is kind of a game, special games that you can play while you're in line for attractions. You know, Soarin' is the one I know we got addicted to using the app for, because they used to have the game that you could play, you know, on the screens, and now they've kind of integrated it into your phone. And it's a lot of fun to kind of play the trivia that they have for the Soarin', the game that they have there. And they just keep adding games as time goes on. And I had really a lot of fun with the app. I don't know about you, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that they're doing this, because with software, it can grow and change, you know, right there on your device. You don't have to go pick up anything hardware-wise. You know, I like that. You know, it can be very flexible. I will say my favorite part of the app was the music that was tied in with Apple Music. You could get, you know, if you were in Liberty Square, you could hear the songs from the attractions around there, Tomorrowland, what have you. That was an unexpected surprise. You know, Disney's kind of hid the music away, and they made it very public for us, which was something I never thought would happen. And I appreciate, because I think that, you know, that's a great way to connect with your memories, is through the music that you heard on the attractions or in the areas. So I like that. I will say that I will sneak a taser into the park. And if I'm riding with somebody who screws up on Smuggler's Run and the Millennium Falcon, I will tase you, bro. So just saying.
But if theirs doesn't impact what you're doing.
No, if it does impact me, I'm going to. Yeah, but I'm saying, if it does impact my ride, I'm going to impact your enjoyment of the rest of your day. And just be like live PD.
I really think it's going to be you and how you handle
it. I'm just saying.
Your experience.
If it affects me, boy, just look out. You might get the blue fire. I'm just saying. So be ready.
Thank you, just on purpose.
All right. So, one other thing I want to mention, though, kind of tied into that, was the My Disney Experience app. It had a struggle this year. You know, I think that moving into 2019,
yes.
You know, if Walt Disney World has a big whiteboard somewhere with like goals for 2019, like I hope they do. I hope to God they do. I had that in my classroom every year, and I only had to deal with like 30 kids. You know, what do we want to do better in the second half of our school year, or, you know, once the new year starts? I hope somewhere on that whiteboard, it just says MDE consistency. or reliability, yes, because it does
fix a lot. I hope it just says fix it.
I mean, I think it does. You know, we got mobile ordering rolling out almost everywhere now, yeah, and it's, you know, that's a great convenience. But the thing you got to always say is when it works.
That are on there now too.
But you always got to say when it works, it's great. You know, I just wish that they would. I don't know what it takes, but you know, pay what it takes. You know, you're charging us a lot of money for these vacations. Make that app 99% reliable. It's unacceptable. Absolutely. With its reliability in 2018.
No, 100%. I mean, I had times this summer, I could not make fast passes. And I still have trouble with it. It will somehow not see my park ticket, and it's in there, and I know it's in there, but it won't see it, and it won't let me make fast passes because it thinks that I don't have a ticket that's valid. And I'm like, no, I definitely have a valid ticket. And it can be, you know, in the same day, you know, I can go in 1 minute and it shows that I have a fast pass, and then I go in the next minute and I try to, you know, play my fast pass game and adjust the times, and then the next second it'll say, nope, you don't have valid admission. And I'm like, I do have valid admission. I was just on the app. I just made a fast pass. You know, that is definitely the reliability. I know that I have issues too, where sometimes with PhotoPass, I know that I've taken a picture and it will take days for the pictures to show up. Not because, you know, of any glitch of PhotoPass, but because the app just isn't seeing the fact that I had pictures taken. It's not registering the day, because the day is not updating as the last day I checked the app or whatever. So yeah, I had major problems with the app this summer, and they have got to get those things worked out, because it is a complete hindrance. And especially for those who are not Disney fanatics like us, who will give them a pass of, okay, yeah, it's just Disney, whatever, the app, it doesn't work, let me log out and then log back in and, you know, try it that way. You know, for people who are new to Disney or whatever, something like that, a frustration like that can impact their enjoyment of the vacation, and then they won't want to go back to Walt Disney World because they're like, I couldn't get anything to work, I couldn't get fast passes because the app wouldn't work or whatever. So by having this app not be the best that it possibly can be, they really are doing it a service to the company overall, because it just makes them look awful.
Yeah, I agree. So I mean, with they're pushing us more and more to the app to get things done, you know,
yes,
for your fast passes, for your ADRs, you know, everything's right there in your hand. But the thing is, and that's fine, because it is a convenience, you know, it's saving paper, it's always on, it's available, you got wait times, but you got to make it work. Like, I mean, that's just the final
Absolutely.
Thing. It's just got to work. So moving into 2019, I hope that's one of their focuses. All right, so let me ask
that's
you
That's one of the resolutions I hope they have.
I hope. We'll talk about that. But let me ask you this too. So in 2018, we got to physically see something come out of the ground, and it's going to impact our vacations for decades to come, which I'm super excited about. It's the gondolas, you know, the Skyliner.
Yes.
And I, you know, every time I would go down for a new trip, I would see, you know, oh, the studios now, you know, now we're getting artwork on the stations, and, you know, we've seen test runs of the buckets. I mean, we're getting close. So it was really exciting in 2018 if you stayed at, you know, Pop Century or Art of Animation to see the, you know, the station out in the middle of Hourglass Lake kind of coming into being, and knowing that, you know, you were there. It's like, it would be like being back in 71 and seeing the monorail beams come out of the ground. You know, that's kind of how I see it. Like, you know, I take lots of pictures because I'll be like, I remember when that wasn't even up yet. You know, so I'm really excited for the gondolas moving forward.
100%. And, you know, for those who maybe haven't been paying attention, the gondolas will not open until, as of right now, they are saying the fall of 2019. So unfortunately, we have a ways to go. And no, they will not have air conditioning. So I know that's obviously still been a question that people have been asking. And no air conditioning, but they will have air ventilation, so the air will go through them. So, but that is something that I'm excited about. You know, I think that it's a fantastic idea. I really do like the idea of the gondolas, and I will be one of the people who's excited to ride it the first time I get the opportunity to, because I think that they are going to be another one of those unique modes of transportation that you can get not only at Disney, but, you know, it's not like I have a Skyway system all over the town of Atlanta here, so you got to go to, you know, kind of specialty places to have a Skyway experience. So, you know, I'm really excited about getting to experience the Skyway. And I think it's going to be a fantastic new addition for Walt Disney World once it officially opens.
Agreed. I'm super excited. I mean, I love riding the boats around Walt Disney World. I love riding. Even the buses aren't that bad. You know, if you're not on a jam-packed bus, I mean, that's kind of fun. You get to converse with people. The monorail, of course, is a fantastic way to travel. So I love that it, you know, it fits. It's a fun way to get from point A to point B that becomes part almost like an attraction in itself. So I'm excited that I got to be there in 2018 to see, you know, the piers go into the ground and, you know, wonder what's to come. 2018 was because that was something you could physically see all over property. So I was excited for that. All right. Mm-hmm. Next thing that we saw in 2018.
Next thing we saw in 2018 was we got a lot of new restaurants at Disney Springs. I know it doesn't feel like it. I feel like, you know, there's always a new restaurant at Disney Springs lately. And you know, every time I go down, I have a new restaurant to try. But, you know, wasn't it at the beginning of the year, didn't we have the opening of like Maria and Enzo's and all that? Yep. So, because I know we experienced it not long after, you know, after the new year. But I don't remember if that was
that was 2018.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that was 2018, I think. Maria and Enzo's. Maybe not. But you're right. We did try to go there. So yeah,
it was kind of like right there at the tail end. But we did have Wine Bar George, which opened up. We had Wolfgang Puck Bar and Grill, which just opened up. We had Terralina Crafted Italian, which opened up next to Paddlefish. And then we had the surprise opening of Chicken Guy, which has got to still be the dumbest name of a restaurant.
They're speaking right to my soul with that name, because that's I'm going there.
I haven't been. Well, I might have gone over the Christmas holiday, but as of the time of this recording, I haven't been there yet. But I'm ready to try the different sauces that they have, because, you know, they have a ton of them and it's relatively reasonably priced. You know, all things considered, it still sounds like an interesting restaurant, even though it has a really dumb name. But, you know, I've heard wonderful things about some of the, you know, the new restaurants that have actually opened. You know, I've heard fantastic things about Wine Bar George. Matter of fact, I think it was up for a big award with USA Today.
Yeah, won,
here at the end of the year last year. I don't know if they've announced that if it's won.
No, it did.
But
it did.
I do know,
Ricky, it did win. I saw. Yeah. It won as one of the best restaurants. Yep.
Got it. So that's awesome. You know, and Wolfgang Puck just opened, I mean, you know, relatively recently. So, you know, I've heard good things about that too. So I just feel like, you know, and we're going to get more things here in 2019 with Disney Springs too. I mean, you're going to have the City Works, which is, I think, a brewery. You've got that NBA experience thing that they're building. Which nobody's excited about. And then you've got, you know, the replacement for Cirque du Soleil is supposed to be starting sometime this year, too. So there's still some major changes that are happening. And I think the third parking garage is supposed to open this year, too. So there's still some major changes that are happening at Disney Springs. And it just feels like, you know, when you think that the changes can start to kind of subside a little bit, bam, you get another announcement. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, once 2019 is finished, if that's kind of a cooling off point for Disney Springs, or if they're going to, you know, surprise us with some more new stuff that they've decided they want to put in there. But, you know, it's still sort of a winning place. I mean, all things considered, all the new things they keep adding.
Yeah, I mean, it gets better and better. And, of course, the refurbished World of Disney store, which now we have.
Yes.
At the end of 2018.
That's true. That's true. It's beautiful. So they did a really great job with that store too. You know, opened it up, made it a lot easier to find people.
Yes, that's the greatest place to lose a kid, man. Oh man.
Yeah. Did you lose Mallory in there?
I've lost my wife, man. I couldn't find my wife for like a week. I would always tell her, you know, if you're going to buy anything, go to jewelry, because that's where the most expensive stuff is. Don't go to the plush section. That's where everybody's going to be checking out. Go to jewelry. That was my big tip.
It's true, though. It's true. Absolutely. 100%. Go to the jewelry counter because nobody's there.
Exactly.
So.
I mean, it was very, very fewer. You know what? The one thing that we didn't get in 2018 that I would have expected that we would have had from a couple years before, when I went down that one time and they did the drone show at Disney Springs at Christmas time.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Like, my jaw dropped. I still cannot believe that what I saw that night. I cannot believe that drone show was that cool. I would have thought 2 years later we'd have had that in 2018 somewhere in a theme park or Disney Springs, and it is just, it's not to be seen. I mean, Maybe it'll be a part, but I don't even know if it's going to be a part of anything at Epcot either, but who knows?
I don't know. I know that the drones have been used, you know, because they were owned by Intel. So I know that they've been used in various other facilities. So I'm like, I know they were used in the Super Bowl that one year. And then something tells me they were used in the Olympics, but I might
be
wrong about that
Yes, they were.
So, you know, they have been used. And, you know, I guess Intel was just looking for a really good place to test out their technology, and Walt Disney World was a great place to test it because, you know, why not? So you're right. I am surprised that we haven't seen anything else from that. But maybe, you know, maybe with the new show for Illuminations, we'll get something with the drones. Who knows?
I just remember we got back on the bus at that media event. Like,
it was cool.
Like a kindergarten class, and Santa just came in. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, every person in there was like tweeting. I mean, thumbs were like, blah, 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 like, there's never going to be fireworks again in 6 months. I said that. I'm like, they're going to replace fireworks with these things. Are so cool. Like, it was that amazing. And just the fact that we got it like a one and done. Oh.
Right. I know. It's crazy. But at least we got to see it, you know, like that's the thing. At least we actually got to see it. So, you know, that I can say I've seen a drone show in person.
True.
That's kind of cool. So we also had the changes at Caribbean Beach. You know, this has been a long time coming. So for those of you who are Caribbean Beach fans and wondering when is it going to be done? You know, of course, it's not going to be completely finished until the summer of 2019, the whole resort. But what they have finished right now is spectacular. I am so very impressed with what they have done. I absolutely love the new check-in desk area, the new the quick service restaurant that they have there with the Centertown Market. They've got a great new shop that has lots of space there for you to buy merchandise. And they've got the bar, Banana Cabana, is so fantastic. I am so in love with this bar, even though I don't drink. There's just something about being out there and relaxing and enjoying, you know, the ambiance of the area. And then you've got Sebastian's Bistro, which the food there is so fantastic. I very much enjoyed eating there. I think that the feel of the restaurant is kind of upscale in a way, but also homey. It's just really, really nice. I am completely in love with the updates that they've done at Caribbean Beach. And this is a fantastic place. And, you know, I know I've talked about the fact that I'm really worried about what they're doing at Coronado Springs because, you know, the artwork that they've showed just doesn't really, you know, show the theming that I know they're good at. And Caribbean Beach proves that they still can do theming, and they can do it and mix it well with, you know, they can make it upscale, but still mix it with the theme of the resort. And so that's kind of why I'm a little perturbed at the, you know, concept art for Coronado Springs. But, you know, I'm still waiting to see what they do. I'm still holding out hope that it'll look okay.
Remember, one of our listeners mentioned a couple weeks ago, Vegas is in the American Southwest.
I guess that's true. Valid point. So, but, you know, I hope, Mike, that you get to head over to see Caribbean Beach here soon because it just looks spectacular.
Yeah, I think I'm actually, you know, and I'm hearing this in the chat too. Bob even mentioned this, like he's considering staying there because of all the new updates, which I think a lot of folks are. You know, we kind of, you know, for the past couple of years in the moderate category, I rank that one as the lowest, just for my personal tastes.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's definitely moving up to the top. And over Marathon Weekend, I'm going to try, you know, I'll probably go to a theme park, catch a bus, you know, on the way back and have, you know, snack or, you know, something over at Caribbean Beach just to walk around and check it out and see what it's like.
100%. And, you know, like I said, the if you go to the quick service location, they do things like they did at Be Our Guest, where they have the carts and they bring the food to you. So you don't have to carry it out, too, which is super nice. So, you know, I think that that's kind of a big deal as well. So, you know, I think that that's great. And speaking of restaurant changes, you know, we had just had the change with Artist Point, which changed from being a signature restaurant to a character meal. And I've heard great things about this restaurant as well, the changes that they've made. I wish I could have gone over Christmas, but, you know, when the family's in town, you can't always do the things that you want to do. You got to share yourself with the family. I couldn't be selfish and be like, I'm going over to Artist Point for dinner.
Yeah, I think this one's gonna be super popular moving forward. I mean, the thing is, I think the purists who loved Artist Point for the quaint upscale dining that it was, or really hurt that it's gone and that they made this, you know, very Disney-fied change. But I think as far as like the target audience of a Disney vacation, Disney's made the right move. I mean, you know, financially, and it's gonna fit a really, you know, a spot that needed to be hit.
Absolutely. 100%. And, you know, I think that giving it the shot in the arm as far as the food is concerned was necessary, because, you know, it was not a place that people thought about going.
No.
And, you know, Disney can't have that, you know, in the current market that they're, you know, in. They just can't have a place where people don't think about going. So that's why I think they made the changes to, you know, Shutters, which now is Sebastian's Bistro, because they knew they needed that shot in the arm this wasn't working. So we need to make some changes. And then the last thing that I really had for this year, you know, like I said, it wasn't like a huge year of big changes, but we did have some things. The last thing is something someone mentioned in the chat today, so I thought I'd have to bring it up. And that is the fact that Maleficent caught on fire,
yes.
Which was, of course, all over the news this summer about the dragon catching on fire. And, you know, it's, you know, we wish her well. And
well, that and a few weeks back, did you see over Disneyland Paris, Santa got booted off the parade float there? I mean, come on, man. Like, I'm not going near a parade float for Disney right now. They need to get their stuff together. You're either going to get burned or you're going to get launched like a toy, you know, off the front of the thing.
I guess, man. I don't know. That was crazy, too. I saw that. But, yeah, so, I mean, we did lose the Maleficent Dragon. Hopefully she's being repaired and will come back just as cool as ever. I hope they still let her breathe fire if she does come back. So, but you know, that was a huge thing. I mean, as far as the Disney community is concerned, because everybody, I mean, even like big news outlets were carrying that story of the dragon catching on fire. So, I mean, it has been a year of no dragon because of giant fires. So.
And I mean, sometimes when I eat Mexican on a Monday night, like I'll belch fire on a Tuesday, you know, I mean, it just happens.
That's not the same thing, Mike, I'm just saying.
Who knows? I mean, come on. Man. Yeah. The thing is, like, that is one of those moments where the soundtrack for the Festival of Fantasy Parade builds to that crescendo where she breathes fire. So, you know, I hope it's not one of those things that, you know, folks moving into 2019 and beyond, when the parade comes down Main Street, you know, that they say, well, that was the time. This was the part where Maleficent breathed fire. Like, it was cool. You know what? Nobody got hurt. You know, let's do it again. Let's just be a little bit safer. Just, you know, have some onboard fire extinguishers somewhere.
Yes. I think that safety in 2019 is going to be key as far as Disney is concerned, because the whole deal with all the monorail issues, too. I mean, yikes.
Hey, where's that door from? What's that door? Where'd that door go?
Yeah, why isn't the door opening? I don't know. So, you know, I hope that they really take a look at some of the things that they're doing as far as safety is concerned in the monorail, and maybe make some changes to that as well in 2019. Is like, that's my resolution that I'm hoping that they do.
to be fair, the monorail door did fall off my monorail into the Christmas tree this past year, so it happens.
I mean, it happens.
And I think Goofy fell out too, because Goofy was in that car, and I think he fell out too. He was laying next to baby Jesus in the nativity scene under the tree. It was weird. It was a weird mashup.
I didn't know Goofy was a part of the nativity.
Yeah, I don't know. He was trying to be the fourth wise man or something. I don't even know what was going on. I don't know what his gift was bringing. He was bringing a fast pass. I don't know. It was weird. Anyway, that's a good place to stop. So yeah, 2018, good year down at Walt Disney World, but obviously 2018 was just kind of the appetizer for 2019, correct?
Absolutely. I think that is the best term for 2018 at Walt Disney World. It was the appetizer year. And 2019 is going to be the entree and dessert, I think. I'll go with the entree. And I think 2020 is definitely going to be the dessert, and, you know, maybe 2021, because you're going to have all that stuff getting ready for the 50th anniversary. So yeah, 2019 is the entree year, and 2020 is, and 2021 is definitely going to be dessert for sure.
There you go. 2018 is the appetizer. 2019 is the entree. 2020 is the palate cleanser. And then 2021 is going to be the dessert. There you go. Not that I'm a high scale, you know, I eat a Taco Bell 3 times a week. I don't know what all that stuff means.
Yeah, you don't know what a palate cleanser is.
Yeah, no, it's called a swig of your soda. That's what that is. Anyway, well, that's going to do it for today. Ricky, great show. Thanks for putting that all together for us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. You know, like I said, it's my job to do the news. And I love the fact that I get to write about the news each and every week. So thanks to you guys for enjoying reading it, I guess I should say.
And please do share on the social media. You know, what were your highlights of 2018? What you're looking forward to in 2019? Again, we're at BeOurGuestPod, at BeOurGuestMike. We've got the Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, don't forget today's show, as always, here on a Friday, brought to you by the great folks at The Magic for Less Travel. So when you're planning that 2019 getaway to a Disney destination, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Salem with Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, even Universal, drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free no-obligation quote form, and I promise you and I are going to have a great time, an amazing time planning that 2019 getaway. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. And again, keep supporting the show with our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please bookmark it on all your devices. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with a great weekend. Relax, lizards. We're going to be down at Marathon Weekend this coming week. I cannot wait to see everybody. So have fun this weekend. Spend some time with friends and family. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. But whatever you do, super important, stay safe. Don't slip on any ice. Don't go out and try to break a record this weekend. Don't try to break anything. Just the only thing you're going to break is a taco shell in your mouth or something, or a tortilla chip. Just chill. Don't get hurt. We're going to be together next week. So everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.